I thought it was just appropriate with the time of year and those that have graduated and are moving into different spheres of relationships and influence, children changing grades, entering into summer. Yesterday, the first day of summer, everybody said amen to that. Praise the Lord. Hardly put my snow shovel away. I've talked to some people that have kept it out because they're still not sure, but I think it'll be all right at least for a month. But I want to talk to you about being an influence today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16, 14 through 16 in the Living Bible, it says, "You are the world's light. You're a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow." Not your nastiness, your good deeds, for all to see, so that they will praise your Heavenly Father. And Shandy, did you come in here?
She, okay.
Good deeds are just not yelling at different people. Good deeds are showing kindness and love. Yesterday, I wanted Shandy to come up and talk for a minute about the kindness, acts of kindness Saturday, and how they impacted so many people, and they talked to so many, and just showing them love. That is a true element of being an influencer for the Lord. And the word influence simply means the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Influence. And God has called us to have influence on our circle, the people that are around us, because the Lord has placed you and I in a time and in a place in our lives to have great influence. And I want to just share this incredible story out of Acts chapter 16, how God works in moments of our lives, and not just the good moments when everything is going well and when everything is just working out good. It's in the challenging times. It's in the difficult moments that God is using us and desires to use us in those moments. There were two nurses in the first service. They were talking after I shared this. And one of the nurses said, she said, "I felt so bad because I talked negatively about someone this week. And I said to them, I want to apologize to you ahead of time right now. That if you are ever my nurse and I treat you bad because I have that tendency in the hospital, I got convicted after doing this lesson, that please forgive me. Even when we're in difficult places and difficulties, and I'm just not good. I'm good going into the hospital, but I'm not good staying in the hospital. I want to come out like real fast." But here's a scripture that I love. Acts 16, verse 16, it says, "And when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future." Now, I want you to listen to this. Because a lot of times people think that palm readers and fortune tellers and all of those things, because they call themselves spiritual, that they are of God's Holy Spirit. Not true. And even to those who have the ability to speak things about the future, they are receiving that not from the Holy Spirit, but from an evil spirit. And you and I should have nothing to do with that in our lives. And she said she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to become saved." Now, I can hear somebody right now arguing with this in their head. Look at, they're telling something good. She was speaking something good. What can be so bad about it? Because she was of an evil spirit. Look at the phrase before. It says she was a female slave who had a spirit that predicted the future, but not of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in verse 18 that she kept this up for many days. And finally, and this has nothing to do with my message, but it's good for someone to hear today. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed, he turned around and he said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. And when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, They seize Paul and Silas and drag them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Verse 22, then the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped naked and beaten with rods. Now get the picture. They're out doing the Lord's work. Surely everything's going to be perfect, fine, and just nice for them, isn't it? My goodness, they're doing the work of the Lord. They're declaring the gospel. But the Bible says first they get attacked by an evil spirit, and then they just get attacked by the people who flat out hate the name of Jesus. And the Bible says they were stripped. They were beaten with rods. Verse 23, and after being severely flogged, they were thrown into a prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to stocks. Get the picture again. They're out doing God's work. And they get beaten, flogged, stripped naked, and they're thrown, not into a cell, in an inner cell, and their legs and their feet are in stocks held tight. Now, I love how the scripture continues. Verse 25, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were crying out to God, "Why me? I can't believe that this is happening to me. Lord, why did you bring me to this place? And why did you leave me here like this?" No, that's not what the Bible says, is it? Come on, are you reading with me? Are you here today? It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Isn't that amazing? Here's the attitude and the spirit that God calls you and I to. Just because we serve the Lord does not mean that everyone is going to embrace us. In fact, for the most part, at times, people will reject you. But in the moment that you are rejected and hurt, here is the answer. At midnight, at the darkest point of the night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, and the other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains were loosed. Wow, that's power right there. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. That was the custom. If the jailer was guarding the prison and anyone escaped, they would have their life taken, or they, by honor, should take their own life. In verse 28, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're still here." And I got to hand it to Paul. I'd been running so fast, naked or not. I'd gotten out of that jail cell. I thought, this is my way out. But Paul knew that he had an assignment on his life and that God had called him at a particular place and a time, even though it was inconvenient for him. Come on, are you hearing me today? And the Bible says in verse 29 that the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I love this. And they replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And not only you, but your whole household." And this doesn't mean just because the jailer got saved that automatically his children and all of his friends were saved. But the word household is a Greek word oikos, and it means all those that he has influence on, he will be able to influence them as Paul and Silas did to him. Influence. He was saying that now that you've gotten saved, you can go to the people that are in your circle in life and you can have influence over them, your people, the people that are close to you, the people that God brings you in for a greater purpose in your life than just for friendships and just for fellowship, but the purpose of you influencing their lives to know that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And sociologists say that we have the ability to reach out to at least 12 12 people in our inner circle that we spend at least an hour with a week that we can have influence on for the people and for the person of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19 says it this way in the New Century Version. He says, go home to your family. And our family should be at the top of our list to ministering to and showing the love of Christ to. Go to your family and your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on your own life. Oh, my goodness. I could tell you how God has had mercy on my life. He's called us to go to the people that we're around. He's also called us to the place that we are at. In Acts 17, 26, the Bible says that he has determined and pre-appointed times and boundaries for us to dwell in. Did you know that you're living in the place right now that God has pre-arranged for you to live in? And no matter how much I complain in January and February about cold and snow, I know that this is where God has called me to be. And until you know that, you will not be able to function and be all that God has called you to be. When you live with that mindset, I got to get out of here. This place is terrible. If I read that one more time in the newspaper where somebody says, I can't wait to get out of here, I just want to say, go. Because this must not be where God has prearranged you to be. Because where you know he's got you, you'll flourish, you'll be blessed, the people around you will be blessed, and you'll have an influence on them that will change their lives and inevitably have an influence on the world around you. Psalm 90 verse 17 says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands in the place where he's called you to. And that just doesn't mean the place, the church that you're at. That means every place. It means your passion. It means the activities. It means the ministries that you're involved in. Where God has stirred you to have influence at. Where God has stirred you to be a part of. And that's not just in the church, but it's taking the gospel into other places where he's called you to go. And you know, for a better portion of my Christian life, I tried to get away from people that weren't saved because I didn't know how to deal with it in my own life. I came from such a wretched background that I needed to separate. Maybe it was a God thing, but now I'm finding myself in this season of my life involving myself with places and people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm on some committees in the city and in the county. I was telling them the first service, I might have told some of you this before, I'm on CJAC, Community Justice Advisory Council, and anybody on there, the judges, the sheriff, state troopers, the DA, the public defender, even Susie Gagne, I'm telling you, she's the woman in the house. All these people had a social service, all these people, and there I am. And one day we were talking, and they were talking about how they may have to build a new jail in our county because of the population is increasing so much, and they have to board them out, and it's costing so much money. And they're wondering what they're going to do. And I said, you know, we got to back up a little bit. We got to find out why there's so many going in that direction. And one of the guys there, he's somebody in there. And he says to me, Marty, he says, I want to ask you a question. Have you really seen anybody's life change in what you do? I felt like the table was my pulpit for a minute there. I said, have I seen a life changed? I've seen hundreds change. In fact, if you'll let me sometime, I'd like to bring some in and let you hear the change that has happened in their life. Come on. Influence. Influence. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire of your heart. You and I are the hope of the world, period. We are the hope of the world. And how do we do it? By our manners, how we act, how we treat people around us. People, they're either drawn to us or they reject us. Listen to this, Colossians 4. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise how you act, because the way you act influences everyone around you. I love this scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, in the New International. Make it your ambition. Somebody, you ought to just mark that, write that out in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. I love this. To mind your own business and to work with your hands. That was the Bible. That wasn't me. I'm just quoting what I'm the messenger here. He said, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Not to neglect the respect by how you handle yourself. Sometimes people can be just so weird in how they act. We don't attract anyone to us. We reject them. We repulse sometimes people because we haven't really put our hearts and our lives out there for God to use us in an appropriate manner. I used the demonstration earlier in the first service that it's much better witness when you go into a restaurant to lay down a good tip than it is to leave a track and say to somebody, God bless you. My goodness, if you don't leave that, you won't gain their attention. But if you bless somebody out of an act of kindness, not because you have to, because you show them you want to, you will gain favor, you will gain respect, and they'll want to know what makes your motor run. You're not amening me enough on that. That's good stuff right there. Be mindful of our manners around others and let God work in us so we can make the change in the world that He has called us to. We need to take great inventory of our moments. Our moments. God asks you and I today to recognize the meaning of every one of our moments. Listen to me just a moment. You are going to have moments when you leave here today that you could have great influence on someone or poor influence on someone. You will have a moment that will come across in your life that will only be for that very minute. Leonard Ravenhill says, the opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Just a moment in time that will come across where you can make a difference, where you can bless someone. Out of your mouth, something can come. You can pray for somebody. God, put it on your heart just to pray for someone, just to ask someone, hey, how are you doing today? Are you okay? Is everything all right? Can I pray for you for something? A moment in our lives. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man, they're ordered of the Lord. An intersection in your life that only comes by in those moments in our lives. Oh, my goodness, I don't know if I'm the only one here. If I could go back and have an opportunity to really fix some of those moments that I flubbed, that I missed. But I'm going to tell you, we can't go back. But what we can do is we can make plans to go forward and to make the right choices, say the right things, seize the right opportunities, do the right deeds, make the right friends, help the right people, and make a difference in the world that God has called us to. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord will determine his steps. My friends, today, if you'll make a decision to ask God, Lord, this is where I'm going today, but guide my steps, order my steps, the steps of a good man, they're ordered of God, to encourage, to pray for someone, to bless someone. Maybe God will call you today when you go out to lunch, just to buy somebody's lunch, just to be a blessing, just to maybe go through a drive-thru and pay for the person's meal behind you. I've been doing that. I don't go through drive-thrus at all. I just don't. But the ladies that cut my hair, I made an appointment. One time, I brought them coffee. You'd think I was Jesus in the flesh bringing them that coffee. So now every time I go, I buy them coffee and I take it to them. And then when I take it to them, I go, usually I'll go through Tim Hortons, and I'll always pay for the people behind me. And I found out that blessing creates more blessing. That when I give, God just creates this chain effect that more giving and more opportunity to be a blessing in my life happens. Take the moments and guard them with all of your heart, because you'll only get them one moment in your life to do something great. And then it's our message. It's our message. It's not a mean-spirited message. It's not putting other people down. I'm just not the kind of guy that just stands up on the corner and tells people, if you don't do this, you're going to die and burn in hell. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, and I don't think I got it on the screen. He says, don't you realize how patient God is being with you? Come on, does anybody know how patient, really, God is being with you? He said, don't you care? Can't you see that he's been waiting all this time without punishing you and giving you time to turn from your sin? Hello? And this is the verse. You ought to write this down. If you don't know it, you should memorize it. It says, his kindness leads you to repentance. Not the hammer. Oh, sometimes, I know sometimes we got to put it out there straight and strong and pure. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, it's the kindness of God that will lead people to repentance. Come on, somebody ought to amen me on that one today. 1 Peter 3:15 says, amen, if you're going to clap for Jesus, don't mess around. Give him a good hand clap. And I know I'm going fast, but I'm mindful of the time. I'm almost done. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you. You should know a 2-minute, a 3-minute testimony in your heart. If somebody says to you, hey, why are you a Christian? I'll tell you why I'm a Christian. Because when I was a child, I lost my mom, my dad, a brother and sister before I was 17, and I became homeless. My dad was an alcoholic. He used to abuse us and beat us. And when I was 17, I was homeless, and I was living in the back of a pickup truck. And one day, somebody invited me to go to church. It was actually who was going to be my father-in-law. He said if I was going to date his daughter, that I had to go to church. And I didn't want to go to church, but I went to church just because he made me go to church, because I liked her enough to go to church. So I went to church. And when I was in church, I hated going for the first few weeks. And then all of a sudden, my heart began to open up. And after a while, a guy came in and he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the next thing I knew, I looked over at my girlfriend and I said, will you go to the altar with me? And she said, no, some of these things you got to do on your own. And so I got up from my pew. And my legs were weak and wobbling. And I went down to an altar and I kneeled in an altar that day. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I went home. And I had hair down below my shoulders, and I picked up an old family Bible that was sitting on in the living room of the house that I live in and I own this day. And I began reading, and I thought right then that day that God would call me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But be able to share it. Be able to tell it. How God changed your life. And when he changes your life, he doesn't just change your life. He changes lives around you. He didn't just save you so you could wear a cross on your neck and a bumper sticker on your rear, on the rear of your car, that is. Sometimes the anointing gets mixed up here. But he saved you so you'd have an influence on humanity and the people around you. And see their lives change. 2 Corinthians 5. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become brand new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed unto us that same message. You don't have to die separate from Christ. You don't have to be afraid of where you'll go when you take your last breath. You can know that God has prepared a place in heaven for you. And I want to tell you how to get there. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He lives again. He's the only God that lived, died, and rose again and lives forever and forever to make intercession for us. Come on, let's praise him right now. Thank you, Lord God. Close your eyes, bow your heads with me all over the house today. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're here today and your life is in shambles. Maybe you made a decision to give your life to Christ and you've never walked with him. He wants your life today. He cares for you. He He wants to see a difference and a change in your life. And all you need to do is right where you're at, say, Jesus, come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I need your help. Some of you are here today and things haven't been going real good with your life. You need his help. You need the power of his Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you and to strengthen you. I want the prayer folk to come down here and just gather around in the front here. I'm going to open this altar up for prayer in just a moment. I'm going to close. Thank you, Lord God. Garrett, I want you to come up and pray and close the service in just a moment. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. He's called you and I to have influence on this world, to be the light of the world, to be an influence. And he wants your life. Some people have told me, I'm an incognito Christian. I'm a covert Christian. Nobody knows that I am. That's not a Christian. You can't hide a light. A light is meant to shine. Maybe you're here today and you've never shared your testimony with anyone, or you've never told anybody else. You've never had the opportunity to share your faith with anybody. God wants to help you in that. He just wants to give you that opportunity to do that in your life. Maybe you're here today, you're struggling in an area of your life. Maybe there's an addiction in your life that you need some help with. These folks are going to pray with you in just a minute. We're going to close in prayer. Your heads are still bowed. Your eyes are still closed. Spirit of the living God is moving in about this place today. To bring hope, to bring help, to bring healing, to bring life to you. Maybe you're here and you're brokenhearted over something that's happened. I don't want you to leave today until you come down and let these folks pray with you and for you. Let me come here. Garrett's going to close in prayer. And as he's praying, if I've talked to you, if that's you in any one of these places, if you need to give your life to Christ, don't leave today until you do that. If you need prayer for your life, you're struggling with something, issue in your life, don't leave. Come down. Let these folks agree with you in prayer today. Garrett?
God, that you give us the tools to be an influence, not only in our family and with our friends, God, but in the world around us, Lord. We ask you for your kindness, Jesus, to be able to convey your kindness to others. Lord, I ask you today, if there's anything in us, Lord, that you hate, God, that you would take it out of us, Lord. God, that we would live each and every single day for you and for you alone, Jesus, and that you would impart a blessing beyond any blessing any human could ever give us, Jesus, that no one would ever leave you, Lord, that no one would ever turn away from you, God, but they look to you, God, through the midst of any troubles or adversities, Lord. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for who you are in our lives, God. We thank you that you're our Savior and our healer. In Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Thank you guys for joining us today. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap if you want to. You guys have a great day today. God bless you.